Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Life Coach Dan Mangana, and this is your Daily Dose of Happy. We're so glad that you were able to make it to join us today, and we have a special guest who's also joining us today, a woman that I met for the first time, Dan's known for a bit. I met her at a David Strickle summit that we did about a week and a half ago. And let me tell you, this lady is dynamic. She is absolutely fab. Her name is Debbie G, Debbie Garcia from Spirituality Gone Wild. I love the name of that. Debbie, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Rock on. I am so glad to be here. I look at who I'm sitting here with. I am with Dan and Walt. This is so awesome. Thank you, David, for orchestrating awesomeness. If you guys haven't heard of the stream of David.com, go check it out. Just had to throw that in.
We're actually kind of filling in because this is David's normal day here on the show. So our audience fortunately knows David really, really well. But David is actually dealing with a couple things today. So that provided the opening for us to get to know Debbie G better. And Dan, I think I asked you this before, but when did you first hook up with Debbie G?
I think the first summit that I did was 6 months ago.
Yep.
But I'd been sort of perusing the world of the stream and Debbie G when there are other things going on. And David's been on Debbie's show a few times, so I've seen them because he streams them to his group. So I've seen her from a distance, but then got to enjoy her more close quarters when we did the first summit, and then when she had me on her show.
And she's fabulous on her own show too. I mean, I had the fabulous opportunity to join her on one of her shows. Let me tell you, you've got a really great live stream audience there, Debbie. Really, really cool.
Thank you.
But what's even more cool to me is the little bits and pieces that I've picked up from the two conversations I've had with you about your background, because you have one heck of a story. I mean, I think anybody who is into law of attraction, conscious creation, taking control of their own life and so forth has some kind of story to tell. You have an amazing story. And so I was hoping maybe you might be willing to share some of that story and maybe give a little bit of a boost of confidence to somebody who's looking for it today. So tell us what you'll tell us.
For sure. So let me preface anything I'm going to say with, I'm not married to stories any longer, and I changed the story, which is why I can even tell the story in the first place.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm a gratitude alchemist is what I call it, and we are all creating alchemy. And what I mean by that is taking the lead of the ego, and we're going to just transfer that into the spiritual gold that you truly are, and how that we do that in our life. Without your dark, you wouldn't know your spark. And that is my story. That is it. You know, PTSD and trauma was something that I dealt with as a child, as an adult, as a young adult. I think if you're on the school playground that you can get opportunities to have PTSD. I had other bigger traumas that people get the opportunity for. That led me down a path of some very interesting life choices and some serious codependency and a big, giant, whopping dose of victim syndrome. Big, juicy, yummy victim syndrome. Oh, my God. I can't even believe this is happening to me. God hates me. I mean, literally, I don't know about you all, but I was in drama as a kid, and like literally I would go into these spaces. Oh, God, I love y'all who do this if you're resonating with it, because you know what it's like. I mean, there is nothing funny about laying on your bathroom floor and crying because you have a very abusive spouse.
Oof.
And you don't know how you're going to get the hell out of there. There's nothing funny about that. But when I make fun of the victim, it was because that's what kept me stuck there in that, you see. Also, the thought that I didn't deserve more than that, or I wasn't worthy of more than that, or lots of other things. But all of these were experiences to continually help me to emerge. I've been through so many that it's like I've been in and out of the cocoon. It's like I get to go and visit the cocoon and come back out all the time. Anybody else get to revisit the cocoon? It's like I always thought there was this great story, sort of like when I was a kid and I thought I was the princess and going to marry a prince and go, you know, off to La La Land and be happy. Well, I thought once you go in the cocoon and you get out, you're a butterfly. But no, we have to die to that self. And then we go back and we go back into our cocoon. And then we come back out and we emerge this beautiful butterfly. And then we have to die to self again. And this just process is, I think, part of our life. I don't know that, I'm sure that I will experience another time in my life where I will say goodbye to self and go back into the cocoon again. The difference today is embracing the cocoon, which is what a lot of people call the dark, or they call the transformational shadow. Yeah, the shadow. You know, a little over a year ago, I tell this story because this is the most recent emergence from the cocoon. I had known David Strickle about a year, maybe a year and a half, and he wanted me to take Taya boot camp. And I said, okay. And about that same time, my son decides, my son had been on heroin and he decided to tried to commit suicide. He then wanted to get help. So our entire life, my life and his, like, let's figure it out. There was a point in time when I had to sit back, and I'm just thinking about this. The release from the outcome of what it was going to look like, of whether or not he would get on the bus from where he was in Vegas to Southern California, of how he was going to do it. I wasn't going to go rescue him and drive up there and get him. He was going to have to, like, take that journey. Because it just wasn't possible to do it any other way. And I remember I had to just sit there, and that was one of my biggest moments in life where I had to say, I cannot be attached to this outcome, and I have to be okay to allow him to experience his dark. And this is what came out of actually in Taya, because I'm talking to everybody about it as I'm going through this, and I'm like, this was one of the biggest teachings is allowing other people to also, including our kids, right?
Sure.
That means my codependent wanting to save him type of things just couldn't happen, and I needed to do this differently, which is what we did. And I didn't know where we were going to live, what we were going to do. My car died. I had no clue. I was on the clueless venture it was clueless. It was bad. It was like, oh, I mean, it was great, but it was bad. Like, I was so clueless that, I mean, you want to talk about unknowns. So then you've got to go into that space of unknown. And I had to be very, you had to get comfortable getting uncomfortable. I'm like, how? And I sat there again. I had two choices to make. I'm either going to say, wow, look at this. We got this car for a week. We rented it. And you know what? Where are we going? I don't know. San Diego. Whatever. I didn't know what we were going to do. All I know is that my son was alive and he was sober. You know.
Which is a victory, by the way.
Huge, awesome. Thank you, Josie Herndon, to an addiction therapeutic services that were right there to help him out. But all of the perspectives are the issue here. It was not that anybody was broken, needed to be fixed, not me, not my son, not any of it. All of it was perspective stuff. And so when I talk about my dark and I talk about stories, and I kind of flew by them all because there's a freaking ton. It doesn't matter what the story is. What matters is how I approach what's happening. What is my response? How am I handling it? Am I going into this with deep and full, utter appreciation, the kind of appreciation and gratitude that drops to your knees because you're in gratefulness, the kind that you just sit down and you just go, thank you, God. I want to be that voice to everyone that they hear that you can do this. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I want everyone to just learn from me. You don't have to always face something so dead on hard. If you're sitting there right now and you're going, my life sucks. I have this. I got it. I also know that there's another way to do it. And it doesn't have to be that way. that's what I want people to get. Today, by the way, just so that you know, not even quite a year later, I'm no longer without a home. I'm no longer without a car. I bought a new car. Excellent. I'm in a three-story townhome 2 miles from the beach in Huntington. And I say this because it's super important for everybody to realize that how powerful your thoughts are, how powerful the law of everything is, the law of the universe is. And I realize I've like flown by a whole lot of stuff, but
you're giving a good flavor. I mean, the way you summarized that kind of brought everybody to, oh my God, she started in this really lousy place and rose to this other place. And you can kind of tell there's a whole story that's in there, even if you left a lot of the blanks unfilled. But that's a big transition, and that's a transition a lot of people don't make. So I guess my first question to you is, why don't you think that people don't make them? Or why do you think that people don't make them?
They're stuck in victim syndrome, like I was. They're stuck feeling freaking sorry for themselves. Sorry, I realize there's some – I've had intense trauma. I am not being unempathetic. Thank you, God, for giving me. I've almost died. I've had botched surgeries. I've weighed 300 pounds. I could just give you a list. I've had a head-on collision. You name it. It's been the abuse, this stuff, the things. It's there. It's not. I'm not. I get it. That's the whole point. And I want to be the one to tell you, I get it, and I care about you. Because if I didn't care about you, I'd be pussyfooting around it like you got other people. Oh, it's okay, honey. I know. I understand. Yeah, he's always been that way. No, that's not what you need to hear. That's not what you need to hear. You need to hear, you know what? You're worthy and deserving, and damn it, you're doing this to yourself. It's time for you to step into you, into your power, and stop looking at outside. You know, nobody outside of us is doing it. When you're in an abusive situation, you get out. You get out. I went into a battered women's shelter with a three-year-old, and I was pregnant. Not much. What do I have to say? It was a block from the beach. It was in Laguna. I met one of my best friends for life there. She's awesome. There are so many golden moments in that. God. But I get it. So there isn't really much that someone's going to say to me that Debbie, you just don't understand. No, I probably do.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It
most likely.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
But that doesn't make it any less painful of what somebody's going through or any of that. I just hope that they can, I hope to be their light to shine and say, you have to do the one thing that is the most uncomfortable in your whole life. When people say get comfortable with being uncomfortable, that means get comfortable with being yourself. With learning who you are and really understanding who you are, because this is all about a journey back to self. We're here to help and help each other remember. That's it. I don't have anything other than sharing my experiences and the shift of attitude and perspective that can help you. You have to do the work. Daniel's sitting here because he did some work, man. I'm going to promise you that, because I know the kind of work he did. And so are you while you're sitting here because you did work. And he goes, well, what is this work? It's being willing to expand. It's being willing to go beyond what you believed was true or possible ever. It's about going back into when you were 5 and remember you're like magical and remember the imagination you'd have and you'd be playing and, you know, you'd be off in a magical land of the kingdom and you, oh, come here, prince, come here, dear. Oh, and you over there, gather that and over here and there's my garden and, you know, just being a kid and getting back into the magic of that energy is how that it's tapping into. I'm not telling you to go walk around and act like that. I do, but don't. You don't have to. You don't really have to, I promise.
Well, it actually raises an interesting point because, as you know, I have 8 different co-hosts. Dan is one of the best on the show. Another one is named Louis D'Souza. He's from London, England. And he, one of his favorite things to say is, no, it's not work, it's play. It's not work, it's play. And so I wanted to know what you thought about that.
Yeah, play, because play is energy. It's moving. You see, if you look at this world and you understand that if your vibration is where that you're aligning with, if you believe in multiverses, and I do, and you want to align with that, play keeps us in that energy because you're not up in here. You're coming from your heart space, not your head space. And I've had to work really hard on this because I've came from my headspace my whole life. I'm an Aquarius. I don't know, but it kind of has something to do with something, I suppose. I don't really know.
It's all right.
It's the age of Aquarius.
If it's true for you, it's true for you. There's just no two ways about that. You
know? I'm aware that I can be up in my head. I think we all can be up in our head. That's just sure. Some people are better at like meditating, for instance, than I am. I have to work. My meditation is to throw on some like Metallica, Pantera, some 80s rock and go cruise down the highway or go hit the PCH and have the sunroof flying open. That is seriously how I like to meditate. It's just all different. So
I love
play,
it.
But play is all about its energy. It's your energy. It's where you're at. I mean, when was the last time anybody jumped on a swing at a park? Seriously.
I'm trying to think when the last time I was at a park, to be honest. But probably the last time we were there, actually, we would have done that because that's something Louise and I would tend to do. But it's been a while. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how about you, Dan?
I've got a small human.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so you have lots of opportunities.
Yeah, sometimes Ariana gets left my house because I'm swinging. It's like, you can swing yourself. I'm busy.
We've got
a playground on our property. So
you're joking, right?
I take it down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That's crazy. Okay, see, my granddaughter was here the other day. You know what she was playing? A famous YouTuber. That's what she was doing. Oh, it was great. But it's her imagination she's tapped into. Yeah. And so the importance of play is back to the imagination. The imagination is part of the law of attraction. Everything that we experience in our reality, every car you've ever seen, everything has been imagined at some point. It was in someone's head. That road you're driving down, I'll go back to your gratitude moment. That road we're driving down was in someone's mind at one point. Boy, how grateful are we to the people that had the insight to go for it, because that's their imagination. Our imagination isn't just there for the goofy little children things, even though I love those. But it's there to create with. And that's passion. You want to talk about that? I mean, play and passion. And how do you dive into your passion? What do you do?
It's funny, Dan, because you and I, the last time we did a show, which was a few days back, we were talking about people who are in that victimhood mode, who are looking, you know, how do I get out, so forth. And the point that we were both talking about was, they really got to want to do it. They got to be willing to actually commit to doing it. You know, listening to Debbie, it's clear to me, oh my God, her commitment is just like flowing out of her ears. Mm-hmm. But some of the people that we've interacted with in other spaces, shall we say, not so much.
Not so much. a little short on that one.
A little bit, yeah.
No, okay, but here's the thing. They have to want it, but let's remember something. So let's talk about the brain and the physiological aspects that are happening.
Yep.
You see, we were patterned, and those patterns become habitual, and they have to be broken as well. It's sort of like, you know, when you first start driving a car, it's all really pretty foreign to you, and you have to keep doing it and doing it and doing it until you become really good at it. At least we hope you do.
But if you don't, I don't want to be on the same highway.
Right? No, yeah, no, please. In fact, go back. Go practice.
Yeah,
more,
right.
Please. Yeah, just do that. Just don't be on my highway.
Exactly. I'll catch you in the next one.
Yeah, right? But it's a practice. And so the reason the practice is so important is because we have to retrain our brain. We began learning way back, we weren't even out of the belly yet, and we're learning by vibration, by sound. We have our DNAs everything's already being created. We have to literally from birth on retrain our brain, and you have to realize that you're not broken. It doesn't make you a bad person. No, you weren't wrong, and you aren't ever going to be wrong. How do you like that? What happens is our shift, once you see it, you can't unsee it, and you will see it. But the practice is what it's going to take. And the only practice I know, the only one I know of, is the one of gratitude. And I mean, I'm talking in deep, dig your heels down in, the kind of gratitude where you practice all day long. You touch water, you're grateful for the flow of the water. You also recognize it's soft and you let it just go through you, everything. It's a mindfulness. And you do this for, I say 21 days. I have a gratitude alchemy experiment that we do. Life, you're a life experiment. So you experiment with different things as you go. So then somebody says, yeah, but I've got this. And how do you want me to be grateful for the guy who's battered me? I don't expect you to be grateful for that right now at this moment. I say right now at this moment because I know that it's possible to become grateful for that person.
Appreciation.
On steroids. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that I am grateful for anyone I've ever termed the perpetrator in my life.
Which is a big deal, by the way. I mean, I want to underline that one. That's a really, really big deal.
Thank you, David Strickle. Thank you, the stream of David. Absolutely. Plugging him. I love you, David. So I love David. Okay, so it's like this. If it's so true that we are these spirits having a human experience, if it's so true that we chose to come down here to this earth and have the experience we're having and, you know, pre-designed life, this is what we're going to do. Yep, I'll take some of that. Ooh, that looks pretty good. Bring it on. I can handle it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to kick some butt in this lifetime.
I can just see you at the catalog counter, you know, just before you got here saying, okay, I'll take that. Yeah.
I want it all, baby. Just give it all.
I see it.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't want those two. Those are the only two I give away. But these, yeah, baby, we're loaded, locked and loaded. Mm. Now, in that same scenario, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to take you with me. Oh, the one that's going to be the perpetrator. Yeah, you. Yeah. I'm asking you to give up this gorgeous, awesome human existence and live a life that really sucks. And that you're just tormented and tortured inside and that you'll never heal from and you'll probably have cancer and die. Yeah, I want you to be the perpetrator and I want you to do that too. Do you realize that if that's true and we choose our lives that we come down here for, that they are giving up our cool ass experiences for one of torment inside? Because we are not human beings that are for hurting others and anger. And in fact, wasn't it that Chinese army, the one that chose not to fight? And I don't remember the entire story, but it's, they chose not to fight and their enemies would come against them and they would kill them and they still chose not to fight. And after 3 or 4 days of this happening, the enemy started to turn on themselves. They started committing suicide. You see,
wow.
It is not within our human construct. It's not within the essence of who we are to be that person, you see. So it is a pure torment and torture for somebody who has taken on the role of the perpetrator. And unfortunately, for them in this lifetime, they're not very loved people normally. I wouldn't want to be them. I'd rather be over here on this side. And I got to have empathy and compassion because it can't be a fun life. Now, I know that probably sounds really, but I've had without your dark, you wouldn't know your spark. I'm telling you all.
It's going to really tell me huge.
That. What about the child molester? Yeah. Do you want to talk about that? I understand that. I get it firsthand. You want to talk about the abusive men? Yep. Got that. What about other circumstances? Whatever. Yep. Got that. But my health, and I've got this, and I can't do it. I know. I got it. But it's not about the stuff that happens to us. It's about how that we choose to perceive what's happened to us. And we can change it at any time.
What do you think made the difference to enable you to make that kind of shift in perspective? Because
I was going to say,
perfectly blunt, that's a huge, huge change in perspective.
What I was doing wasn't working. wasn't working. I was not living a life that I felt, I was not living the life that I knew I should be living. In 2012, I heard this calling that I would be speaking in front of lots of people. I forgot all about it completely. And even 5 years ago when I split up with my last significant other, when he and I decided to go apart after 13 years, even that's about the time I went, it's not working. There's something, it's just not working. And, you know, Nikki Sixx from this band called Motley Crue, he went into another band called 6 AM. And there's a song that I really love, and it says, sometimes it takes a trail of blood to find your way back home. And the song's called Life is Beautiful. But just that piece of it, sometimes it takes a trail of blood to find your way back home. There isn't always a moment or a thing. It's several things that add up over time. But when you get tired and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you're mm-hmm. over it and you're just so freaking done with it and that you just know there's another way to do this, you're going to do that. Whenever in my life I've wanted something, you're not stopping me. Not going to happen. Think about something. Well, I really thought this was going to happen, and I really wanted it, but it's not happening. It's just not happening. I've been practicing this law of attraction stuff forever, and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. When you want something bad enough, I've been trying to lose this 20 pounds that you have, and I saw your ass at Jack in the Box. Don't you be talking about that. No. It's that moment when you're honest with yourself, and you're true with yourself, and you're honest with you. You're not answering to somebody. You're not going over to Tom, Dick, Harry, Jane and saying, what do you think? Who cares what anybody thinks? When you are going to do something, nothing stands in your way. You don't ask anyone. Well, do you think we should? No.
You just go for it.
Boom. And then people go, ah, wow. You know, it's an annoyingness of knowing what you want, believingness that you are capable. And it isn't necessarily that you're capable of doing it yourself. You're capable of doing it, putting the thought out there, and letting creation help you develop it.
Well, you know? One of the things that really just blows my mind and I really love about this kind of general field that we're in, my podcast, you have your podcast, Dan does his stuff. We're all kind of in this one field. The level of self-honesty in this field far exceeds anything else I've ever seen in my life. And it's consistent from one guest to the next, from one person to the next that I'm interviewing, from one person to the next who I'm finding out about their stuff. I mean, it's just so consistent. The level of self-honesty compared to what I see in the rest of society, it's almost like we're on different planets. And I love that. I guess that's my way of saying thank you for coming on and talking about your self-honesty. I'm glad you're doing that. Did you have to do anything to get to that place? Did you have to, like, was there something you had to go through or some conscious thing you had to do in order to make yourself be that self-honest, or was it just because you went through all these circumstances and you said, okay, I'm done with this?
That's a really good question. So I remember after Wayne died, and that was the father of my children. It was a tough one. We were best friends. I remember reading this book, though. It was called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Great book.
Man, it was, dude, wasn't it just like something just went, oh. This part about it's not personal, you know? And what did I have to do? I had to make a choice. Everything is about our choices. So I made a choice, but I made a different one. I actually read the book and went,
yeah.
Wow. And I went through some more with people call Dark Night of the Soul, I call it depression, whatever you want to term it. You know those moments in your life where it was kind of like that, but I did nothing but study. I did nothing but study. I watched Abraham Hicks, and I watched another friend. Right before that happened, my best friend Bob had passed away too. And he was Practice Gratitude Success. And that's actually when the word spirituality gone wild came out of my mouth. But I didn't know what we were talking about aliens and angels and blah, blah, blah. And it was crazy. But I remember sitting there, it was like 4 months. I just pretty much stayed put and I didn't go anywhere. And it was sort of like my own COVID, you know, just my own
personal
thing.
Lockdown.
Personal lockdown total. And I mean, I watched everything I could get my hands on. I wanted to understand my psyche. I wanted to understand what is going on here. I researched and discovered, and oh my God, Dr. Wayne Dyer his work was a godsend for me. The I Am meditations, the teachings of the Tao, being exposed to something like the Tao Te Ching, for real?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like, where has this been? Coming from Christianity and my dad was Catholic, it was like, I'm like, wait a minute.
Slightly different, yeah.
Yeah, so what I had to do was, that's what I had to do. I had to seek, and what I was seeking was remembrance, remembering who we really are here. And I'm going to promise you all, and in between all this, there's still stuff.
Yeah, isn't it interesting?
Oh, yeah.
The path never really stops. You never really stop learning. You really never stop picking up new ideas. You really never stop changing your perspective.
You just die.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. That's a good point. I mean, because when you're done learning, you're done.
Croak. You're done. No, that's it. Daniel, you're right.
You're right. Yeah, that's it.
Croak-a-rama.
And really, would we have it any other way? Because, I think there are some people who would rather have it any other way because of the answers that they give you when you're asking, okay, well, if you ask for some help, here's some ideas, I need some questions answered from you, and the feedback you get says, they don't really want to do the work necessarily, they just want the results. Can't I just plug in, the magic wand and make it all wave away? And
I can't do that. I can't just buy a 997 course on Instagram.
You can.
Well, you could try.
It's probably not gonna do much, but yeah, go for it.
Just whip out that old Harry Potter wand and go for it.
But yeah, I was gonna say that sometimes it's sometimes I think we can beat up on ourselves for having those moments when we do feel like, oh God, I don't want to do it. And just owning right now, I don't want to do it, and taking a break, slowing down for a sec, maybe going to sleep, having a nap, and then getting back on the saddle.
That's true. I think that's probably the best way to describe what actually happens, because I don't think anybody really does it as one continuous stream. We do it in spurts, don't we? Especially when we run up against some kind of massive barrier that comes along and like, oh, where did that come from? Out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to deal with it. We have to deal with the stuff that the contrast and the polarity brings to us. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's just part of the life experience. But you're right, we do kind of do it in spurts. And mm-hmm. I get the feeling, Deb, that when you were going through your stuff, that's kind of what you did. You would run into something, and then you asked your question, like, what's my psyche doing here? How did I end up in this spot? How did I get here? I mean, didn't this just happen to me? I mean, that's what victimhood teaches me. It just happened to me, right?
Yeah, this just happened to me. What the hell?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I was. Yeah, it does. Actually, I do go there. I do. It just doesn't last long. You know, I'm human. There is that uncomfortableness comes. It's how I choose to deal with it. But man, yeah, I would be in. But no, I just knew this time. Like I can't really explain how that looks. It's like the outside world's looking at me. Oh my God, she has nowhere to go. She has no car. No, nothing, actually. Zero!
Yeah.
What the hell is... I don't understand why you're not flipping out. You can talk to... I've got a lot of people watch me on Facebook doing live streams talking about this. It's all stuff that... It's all documented, even. It's kind of trippy. Mm-hmm. Nope, not going to lose it. How can you not? Well, because if today were my last day, I'm not going to go out... I'm not going to go out by losing my cookies.
where did you get started with the gratitude thing? Because you made a really big point about that a few moments ago, how the gratitude is like the beginning, the end, and the middle for you. Where did that start?
It started, it's funny, because I realized, thank you, Facebook and messages, but I look at stuff from 2006, 2009. Apparently, I've always done this. I remember when my kids were growing up, we would do five things they were grateful for every night. But the real hit with me with gratitude was when I met Bob Miller, and he was doing Practice Gratitude Success. That was his show he did. And this is before live streaming. He would do it on YouTube. But there was a difference with this. This was, who are you grateful for? Not what. I mean, the whats are cool, but the who, you know, which is, of course, that's edification. But when you think about in your life, the people that have came through, how in the world, like we had some people show up along the way in this last year to get to where we're at right now, you see? My gratitude for them, those are my who's. The who'sville is way more important than the what'sville, because the what'sville goes. Well, the who'sville goes too, but it's a heart connection. You can't do a heart connection with, you know, your Tesla car. Well, maybe you can. Yeah, it just depends. I might when I get my Tesla, but I don't know. Just know that gratitude is not a word. So I got so into it, and Bobby passed away, and he used to teach about different aspects of it. Then I started researching Dr. Robert Emmons from UC Berkeley. He wrote the book Thanks and the Little Book of Gratitude. And I'm researching all of this and realizing that, did you know the people who practice gratitude, gratefulness, actually have less heart attacks by 30%? Did you know that people that practice gratitude in the workforce have an increase in productivity by 18%? Did you know that practicing gratitude in your life, that your relationships are always better? Did you know that by practicing gratitude in your life, that you can literally shift anything you want? And I am living proof, I swear to you. Of course, you can try it and let me know if it doesn't work for you. I'm just going to laugh and say you didn't do it right.
I understand that. I'll also say that there was a time when if I would turn on the TV, which I have to, Dan knows this is not a very frequent occurrence. I don't turn on the TV very often. But on those rare occasions where I would turn on the TV and I would tune into some talk show or whatever, and you know, the host would have their guests on and so forth. And literally to a person, every single person who came out of that show would say, thank you so much for having me on the show. They might even begin the whole thing off by saying that. And for the longest time, I figured, well, you know, they've just been given the opportunity to be on nationwide television. Of course they're grateful. And then after hearing it over and over and over again, it finally began to dawn on me, no, this is their regular way of interacting with people. This isn't just something they do when they appear on the Tonight Show or something like that. This is what they do every moment of every day with everybody they're interacting with. And when that thought came through to me, it was like a 2x4 to the forehead. It was like, oh my God. This is one of the reasons why they're so successful. So I love the fact that you kind of hooked into it and that you've made it basically your modus operandi.
I'm appreciating how that you see me and hear me, and I love that very much. Gratitude intelligence. So let's talk about emotional intelligence, though.
Okay.
So another aspect to this, you know, a lot of the reasons my relationships weren't working, believe it or not, you know, like I'm the common denominator in all of this. So
that's a scary concept for me every time.
It's, oh shit.
You're right.
I got it. It's me again.
I just did it again.
Gotta love it. Gotta love me. I'm like, all right. Now, you're like, well, wait a minute, but he was the narcissist. I hear you. Okay, listen. I already got it. I already hear the little things flaring up, and I love that I trigger the victim because it's great. That rocks. So, it's how we communicate. How do you hear? I spent my life talking so much because I wanted desperately to be heard, be seen, feel safe, connected. loved, and I didn't know how to communicate that properly, or how, what were my needs based, or my needs in this as well. So my gratitude studies led into the next, which was emotional intelligence, nonviolent communication. I love Marshall Rosenberg's work, but I looked at, or am, but I shifted it into gratitude intelligence and went from, in using that same concept that if you're in radical appreciation and then, and radical acceptance, that you can shift your life. And I started, well, how do you start with that? If you're angry and you're judging and whatever, well, this is where I learned how to shift from judgment to curiosity. What's going on within me, but what is also real for the other person? This is empathy. Where is having empathy for somebody who's mad at you, so, or you're mad at the very person you're pissed at? Okay, there is something going on here. It's a lack of communication. That's all this is. Needs not being spoken, truths not being spoken, assumptions being made, creates a nasty disaster. And the only way to ever get around this, not get around it, walk through it really, you know, is to be willing to become curious, be willing to think about what might be real for that other person right now.
Curious, I love that word, because it evokes a number of different possible meanings, and I'm sure each of the listeners are going to have their own meanings in mind. For me, it's, I want to know why it is the other person reacted in a way that I wouldn't have reacted. That's where it starts for me. Where does curious start for you?
What's going on for them? Mm-hmm. What's going on for them in their heart? What is it they're, what's happening really for them? Did I create space for them to be able to share? Did I jump right in because I have a need that needs to be met and I don't want, hey, how's it going? Nope, I'm not taking 2 seconds to find out how you are. Here's what I need. And they're over there unbeknownst to me because I didn't take a second to check in with them. And I'm guilty of this still. I do this and I had to catch myself. But they may have, you know, just gotten a phone call for whatever. They may have opened their bank statement and saw some charge out of nowhere. They may have had whatever hit, and they're just, maybe their spouse is really sick. Maybe somebody got cancer. Who knows? But the point being, I as a human being did not do my job, and my job is to be there present with them and to be a little bit more gentle and say, hey, how's it going?
In fact, it doesn't even have to be a case that, you know, the bank foreclosed on them. It doesn't have to be anything like that. It could be just like, I want to know how you're doing. There could be nothing at all that went on. Maybe your day's going good. I want to hear that too.
Simple connection. Yeah.
Yeah. That's heart a big connection. Deal. I'll tell you honestly, yeah. I mentioned to you before the show, Louise has a gardening maintenance business that I am now running for her for the most part. And one of the things that we do when we're hiring somebody new is we will kind of take some mental inventory of how the interview is going. Louise is a former psychotherapist, so she kind of developed a lot of this stuff. And one of the things we look for is, does the person who's doing the interview with us talk over us? If they do, they're gone. They don't get the job. Because someone who's talking over us is somebody who doesn't value two-way communication. So if you want to lose on a job interview, talk over the interviewer. It works great. I'm just saying, you know, so yeah. It really lights up for me, because how often, regardless of whether or not somebody's having a bad day, how often do we just kind of skip what the other person's doing, and how are we cutting ourselves off in the process by doing that? That sounds like to me what you've been saying. You realized, oh my God, I'm cutting people off. Mm-hmm. I'm not recognizing who they are.
Oh yeah. It was again, back to the, I so badly want to be heard. You see,
yeah,
I need to prove my value versus just be. There's so many, it's something we all, I think all people can do at any point in time. Have you ever, the nervousness, some people will overtalk because of nervousness.
Sure.
rather than taking a breath, practice, you know, and being honest.
Yeah.
I'm super nervous, but I really want to show you how my, you know, what my skills are, but just so you preface it, but see, people aren't taught how to really say this is going on. If you have somebody sit in front
so
of
true.
You and is said to you, gosh, well, I'm really grateful to be here. I really want to hear about this job. I may not have all the qualifications you're looking for, but I sure am nervous, but I would love to share with you what I do know.
That's an easy interview. That's a wonderfully easy interview. Yeah, because you're right. That's total self-honesty. When you got an honest person in front of you, that interview goes, at that point, the hard part is getting Louise to stop talking because she's just so psyched about that prospect.
Well, then what I also love too is if my listening skills are good, then I'll hear that you're nervous. And then are we able to tune in and think, I wonder why that person's feeling nervous. What can I do to help them? And I get this a lot because I interview a lot of people and I forget sometimes, like I'm so used to it that this, like just not, this is normal. That's not normal for them. Mm-hmm. And they're experiencing nervousness and other things. And so can I tune in and feel what's going on and how can I meet them? How can I meet them where they're at? Not, you know, and just be gentle enough to just help them get through whatever it is. You know, communication is about caring enough to know what's real for other people, for yourself. You know, it's how we express our needs, our desires, our wants with each other. But it's mostly about what you hear. And if you're ever really curious and you truly want to communicate with somebody, just put your hand to your heart. Just breathe with them.
I like that.
That's all you
That's
need
really
to know.
Good. Yeah, very good.
Beautiful.
By the way, speaking of live streams, I mentioned your live stream earlier, and ours is relatively quiet today. It's surprisingly quiet. But Janine made a little comment. I'm curious to know what you're going to respond, Daniel. She says, why is Daniel so quiet today?
Yeah, why are you so quiet today?
I like to soak up the Tuesdays, the day when I get to soak up the goodness, even from the stream. Today I'm soaking up the Debbie G goodness. And then I bring the raucous madness on a Thursday.
Ah, okay. And that makes total sense because that's exactly what you do on Thursday. Which is
I love this. This is awesome.
I get to tune in and I'm backstage basically.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
Well, that's the way I feel when I do interviews. I mean, most of the time I'm listening to some really fab guests like Debbie, and it's just, oh wow, I get to ask the questions too. Oh, what a treat that is. But most of the time it's like, okay, let's hear it. Come on, bring it on. This is good.
Exactly.
I'm really loving it because I most of the time am over there. Just that's, you know, I've had both of you on. So, you know, it's, but we're lucky to be able to do it. This is great because we get, we've been students sitting, this is what I love about Spirituality Gone Wild.
Yeah.
About doing live casts is because we're able to actually meet each other and hear and remember. We all help each other remember. And it's one of my favorite things to do. And in fact, I want to help everybody remember right now. And we're going to just rock your spark for a second. So one of the favorite things I love to do is make things about me because I just do. And I'm going to make this about me for a minute and ask you to think of five words that you think of when you think about me. You know, vivacious, tenacious, all these great things, you know, Miss Gratitude.
All the greatness.
All the things that you guys could think of. I want you to just in your head, just kind of come up with those for a minute. And anyone listening now or in the replay, I want you to just think about, you know, what are those five words that just come to you about me, Debbie? Okay. You have them? Good.
Got them.
Okay, so real quick, Dan, five, just spew them off real quick.
Exciting, energetic, grateful, inspiring, and magic. Is that five?
Beautiful. Well,
that was five. Alive,
gorgeous.
Real, grateful, just I'm looking for the adjective. Explosive is all I can think of. And magical.
I love that. So I want to thank both of you for how you see me. And actually, it's just like you two just literally tear me up on this one. But what I have to tell you is you can't see something you're not, ever. Mm. You have no point of reference. So rock your spark, because both of you are those things.
And I remember you did that with me when I was on your show, and I loved it. As soon as I realized what you were doing, of course, I didn't know it until afterward, but when I realized it, like, oh, yeah, it's perfect, because we are all mirrors to each other. And that's what you're practicing with that little thing that you do there is you're reminding yourself, you're reminding all of us, we are all mirrors to each other. So what we're getting is what we're giving.
Literally. Beautiful hearts, yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I want people to just remember who they are. It's it. And be with that. Be with that beauty and that glorious, gracious heart. And just loving who you are, period. I mean, there's nothing more than that. And you are the
spark. Did you have to go through something to get there, to get to that loving place for yourself? Did you have to go? I mean, for myself, I went through like a mirror exercise thing, and that really gave me a boost. But I also went through some other stuff before that. I'm curious, did you go through stuff that just kind of, first of all, woke you up to the idea, I got to be more loving to myself? And then secondly, you actually did it by doing X, whatever X is.
There was lots of times most of my life, I didn't think I was pretty. I didn't think I was worthy, deserving, and all those great things. The first thing I was doing was the I am. I started off with simple affirmations, and I realized they don't work if you don't believe them and all of that, but you have to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. When brain entrainment requires you using different words, and if you read the four agreements, you're going to see that your words are power. Mm-hmm. So I started with changing how I speak to myself, and there's a couple of different exercises anyone can do very, very simply. Do the I am statements, and the I am statements, and I use it with the Dr. Wayne Dyer. It's free on YouTube. The I am meditation, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night. I would sleep all night with this thing going, just because the music is by James Twyman, and it's attuned to the I am frequency. I am that I am is the name of God in the book of Genesis. So anything that you do is I am, that is your greatness, right? Okay, so... No, you may not actually believe it when it starts, but that's okay. Paying attention to what comes out of your mouth. This is huge, huge. And how do you do it? You pick a day, and every single hour you set an alarm, and every hour you write down exactly what your mind is thinking at that moment. Okay? Knowing you can pivot, knowing you can shift it, but that's not really what the point is. Just pay attention to what you're thinking. Do this for a day or two. And you will realize, I see where my thoughts are going. So that now that you've, right.
The first few times, it's alarming.
It is, but then all of a sudden it becomes this practice really quickly. This is one of the quickest, this one happens faster than anything I've ever done, is this exact mindfulness trick. It just brings it to the forefront of your mind, and then you start going, aha. Aha, and you just keep practicing it. The next step to that is shifting the word, shifting how you're seeing it. So I can't believe how stupid I am. No. That's bad.
Try that one again.
bad, no. So rather than that, I am so grateful for this lesson I just learned. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many ways to look at something. Well, I can't believe I just did that again. Well, yeah, you can, because you did. But you don't need to say it to yourself like that. Mm-hmm. That's the
point.
You can
be more gentle about it.
Exactly. We all do stuff. Yeah. And so that just takes me to the last part of that is really, I'm going to ask anybody this. Can you really screw it up? Can you really, really mess it up? What's the worst that ever is going to happen? What? You're going to croak? Well, you're going to do
that
anyway.
Exactly. We're never getting out of it alive. Why take it seriously?
Why are you taking it so seriously? Seriously. There is seriously.
I wonder
seriously,
that myself.
Don't.
I don't know sometimes why I take it so seriously.
I think we're trained.
Yeah, I guess.
Now, what about the trauma of not having a house? Because I've been facing this recently. I've noticed myself a couple of times starting to get and then realizing this is my house.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, this is my house. This is not, I'm not living in someone else's home or anything like that. This is my house. Oh, I'm covering rent. Got it. Check. But I just want everyone to know that recently I caught myself going into that feeling because there is some trauma inside of not knowing where you're going to live.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
For a minute, I lived. I'm here breathing. So it's like there wasn't anything. So far, everything I've experienced hasn't killed me yet, so we're doing okay.
Yeah.
And by, you know,
one of my favorite things that my friend Joel Delson says is that if you're still breathing, your journey isn't done yet. So congratulations.
Right. No, you're still, yeah, sorry. It's got to be one more day. Say it. No, it's like we could do it differently. We could have fun with it and play with it and quit taking it so seriously, for goodness sake, Jiminy Crickets. But yeah, starting with your mind and what you think and what's coming out of your mouth and how you're saying it and how you treat yourself. I used to smoke cigarettes and I had to use literal neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, to quit.
But you
and
did it.
I did a year ago. Wow. But I remember I had quit prior to that too, but it didn't stick. I have all kinds of those little things that have happened. I had to retrain my brain. Mm. It's just there. It's like, you know, losing 150 pounds. That, the way I did it 21 years ago, was a gastric bypass. The way I would have done it today is I probably wouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would not. I probably would have done brain entrainment and went for things like NLP.
Reason.
Yeah, I would have.
I know people. In fact, I can think of somebody in the family who went through the gastric bypass and he died anyway. So
yeah.
It kind of goes to prove you got to do the mental. If you don't do the mental work, all the physical stuff in the world isn't going to do much for you. You got to do the mental part.
That's exactly it. Well, because I'm going to tell you, there, it was like thinking, you know, that we were talking about, you know, getting that 90, that special program for 97.99.
Yes.
That one. That will.
The magical, mystical Instagram program.
Right. So I'll just, you know, get a magical, mystical altering of my body parts. And No, there is no magical. There is no nothing. There is no way to get around what is necessary to truly have the life that you really want to live. It is just going to require people getting real with themselves and stepping out of the victim suit. And it is a freeing experience, by the way, when you do step out, when you do call yourself out.
How did you make your first step? Because I mean, you described a few of these scenarios where you would kind of put yourself into a victim place and you had the consequences that came with them. But at some point, you made a conscious decision. Do you remember where that happened and how you ended up saying, okay, I'm done with this victim stuff? I mean, you may not.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's been so many, but I remember like, almost 5 years ago, after I split up with the one, and then I was in this one space, and I just remember, I was just in that 4 months of wham. I knew better. I knew that it wasn't gratitude, that's for sure. I knew I wasn't grateful, but I had such a hard time accepting life and accepting myself the way I was, that it made it very hard for me to see that I was in victim mode. But it took, it was a real long look in the mirror. I didn't like who I was at the moment. So, I wanted to change it.
It's almost like we reach a point where there's like this tipping point that we can't see it as we're coming up on it. We can only see it when we look back on it. But that tipping point comes and all of a sudden we just can't stomach being and doing who we just were up until that point. Somehow we just can't tolerate that anymore. And I don't know what that is. I don't know why that happens. it's just tipping point is the best way I can think of to explain it. But it does happen.
Yeah, well, I think it happens a lot, though. I think we have it happen, and then I think we have it happen again and again. And I think we're constantly, and I think we reinvent ourselves, and we reinvent ourselves depending on, I'm in my 50s now, and it's been another process of a new emergence of self. And actually, this time it's more of the realizing that self is not what I thought self was. It's definitely, different now. I can't really explain anything other than it's an observer space of being where you really kind of observe. When I get all up into anything, my ego's in it, and that's just all there is to it. And so if I stay in observance and acceptance of others, just the way they are, I don't think I need to go fix them, give them answers, whatever, just be there. It's a different experience in my reality. But if I'm that other person, then I'm creating resistance and I'm not going in flow and things are not happening. But that's when I'm in that, in the self, though, if we're going to use that term. But it's just, these are things throughout our experience. We all strive for different spaces of being. And all I can say is, you're the only one that could decide whether or not this is working for you. And if it's not, make a different decision. It's as simple as that. You say, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is.
Since we got onto local cable access, I've always been very aware of the time, because we have to keep it within a 60-minute time frame until today, because I just noticed that we're over time. So I'm going to have to do a little editing, but that's all right. Before we go, though, we have to make sure we find out a little bit more about how to reach out to Debbie G, because she has all kinds of cool stuff going on. So give us like a little flavor, some of the stuff that you've got going, what people might want to tap into that would be beneficial, particularly if they're still dealing with that victim mode stuff.
Well, I love that you asked. They can go to spiritualitygonewild.com and join the Untamed Club and take my Gratitude Alchemy course. So use the code GRATITUDE. It's $17. And my course is $144, by the way. But it's included in the Gratitude Alchemy, or it's included in the Untamed Club, along with the Divine Body Reset. And we have Emotional Hygiene 101 coming. So Spirituality Gone Wild is a place where we have 15 co-creators, and we have more coming, that teach all these types of tools that I've talked about all day or today. This is all where you can find it. All this stuff is there. People who teach different components of this. And we have more co-creators coming and lots of more fun stuff coming. You can reach out to me simply, Debbie@spiritualitygonewild.com, or you can go to the website and you can catch me there or on Facebook. And if anybody wants to come onto the show, you can fill out the Be a Guest form on spiritualitygonewild.com and look for us to be up on Roku by the first of the year. So
Roku. Ooh.
We are going Roku, guys. We're going
Roku. Yeah.
Right?
Good stuff. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to be insanity.
It's going to be a good insanity, though. That's for
sure. Oh, Lord. Spirituality's gone wild. Have you heard?
Apparently, yeah. And I heard it from this lady right here. So thank you for coming by to share the word, because we appreciate that so much.
Definitely. And,
I know Daniel does, even though he's still not saying much of anything, but that's okay. It's a good
day. Hey, when the party's going and I get to just hang out. Plus, this has been a day I've been podcasting since 7:30 this morning. So
ooh. God bless your heart. Oh,
this
God.
Is some nice downtime. This is number 4 of 5. I have one more. So when I get to kick back and just soak up some Debbie G, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that.
I don't blame you. If you're going to soak something up, it might as well be a Debbie G program.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Debbie, thank you once again for joining us. I mean, seriously, this has been great. We really appreciate it. I know our listeners are going to love it. And I mean,
I'm honored to be here. I adore both of you. I am so grateful the universe has brought us to cross paths, and we're going to be talking about crossing some more paths here very shortly.
Absolutely.
Because I'll be reaching out to you very shortly to go along our journey, I'm hoping, because, yeah.
Cool.
You guys are magical, and thank you both for being here and just for being who you are in the universe.
Thank you as well. And Daniel, as usual, I mean, I thank you every week because you're a very thankable person, but I'm going to do it one more time. Thank you very much for being who you are. It's fabulous.
I receive it.
Thank you also to our live streamers, and thank you especially to our podcast listeners because, hey, guys, without you, we wouldn't have a podcast. And with that idea in mind, we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everyone.